Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, how are you today? How's San Diego?
Kevin, San Diego's great as usual. It's the day after Election Day. Everybody trying to figure out what happened. But more importantly, I'm just curious. Are there any banners flying yet in Peoria? I mean,
8-9-1 have won 8 in a row.
Now, we are taping this before, we'll let people know, we are taping this before Wednesday's game. So we don't know what happened today. But, I mean, we're just going to assume that the Padres won because that's just what they do. I mean, they win baseball games. That's it.
You know, spring training, I bet you that, and I didn't ask anybody, but I bet you 9 out of 10 of these guys don't even know how many they've won in a row.
Oh, I would, I'm sure that's probably, probably true. Most of them aren't even there at the end of the game.
Exactly. That's, if you were a starter, unless you were a minor leaguer or for some other reason you just wanted to stick around because you haven't seen enough baseball and don't think that the 192 games that are left that you're going to see enough baseball, then you're gone in the fifth inning or after the fifth inning. I will say we're getting to the point here where guys are going to play more. The wins, losses, and the chuckles aside, and with the caveat that spring training statistics are meaningless. Pitchers are working on things, primarily fastball command. Heck, hitters are working on things, and you really don't ever know what they are. But the pitchers are throwing strikes, and they're not allowing runs. And the hitters are putting the ball in play. There have been a couple games in particular where even if it was by an error or, you know, an error and then a couple base hits, they weren't strikeouts. And you know what? I guess that's really all they can do. And it's better than saying, oh, my gosh, the Padres are striking out all the time, like we've been saying the last 5 or 6 regular seasons.
Right. So, no, I mean, it's all in fun and, you know, I think the season is still, 3 weeks away from tomorrow, I think, is opening day. So just think, Kevin, you have almost 3 more weeks still in Arizona.
Yes.
Hope the tan is nice and strong for down
I'm
there.
I'm looking forward to the regular season because I feel like more than the past couple of years, just because I want to see. I mean, I want to see what happens. What it was, you know, I'm assuming Tommy Pham is starting in left field. I want to see that. I want to see him in the lineup every day. Trent Grisham having a great spring. Heck, I, of course, want to start one more cycle of the how will Will Myers do train.
There's just not enough Will Myers. The guy everybody wants to see, you wrote about him today, Mackenzie Gore. Probably the best pitching prospect in all of baseball. Seems like certainly the best left-handed prospect. I can't think of another one off the top of my head that's rated any higher. I've seen him anywhere from like number 3 to number 8 in everybody's top 100s of all the prospects in Major League Baseball. He is going to make his, I guess you call it what, his big league, Cactus League debut tomorrow? How do you even phrase that?
But his spring debut
yes. for the Padres tomorrow. Unfortunately, I don't think the game's on TV in San Diego, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of clips circulating about. So, Kevin, give us a little bit on Mackenzie Gore and maybe a quick little summary of the anecdote that you started your story with today, which I read yesterday, obviously, when you filed the story, but I loved even seeing it again today.
Well, I've been holding on to this for a couple of years and then talked, you know, obviously in the last week or so to people about the time that Mackenzie Gore faced Fernando Tatis Jr. in this prospect game that is held in secret. Just members of the Padres front office player development staff, you know, the minor league coaches, and it's the top prospects, and they face each other. You call it an inter-squad game, and it was the day that the Padres were leaving, and I was about to get on a plane for El Paso. They were going to play the Chihuahuas before the 2018 season, and everybody else in the organization is watching this inter-squad game, and Tatis and Gore, and everybody's excited, right? They're both 19 years old. These are the guys, man, in the future, right? So it's 2018. They're thinking, oh, man, 2020, 2021. It's going to be great. These guys on our team. And Mackenzie Gore, first pitch, fastball, like 96, 97, knocks Tatis to his butt. Tatis is mad. He gets up barking. And Gore may or may not, he definitely stared him down by all accounts. He may or may not had some choice words back for Fernando Tatis. I couldn't quite confirm that. But regardless, everyone that I talked to over the past couple of years about this was like, yep, that was the moment. I mean, we saw it the first day he was here. Just everything about him, athleticism, stuff, velocity, his inquisitiveness, all that stuff. But then get him in that moment where he knew everybody was watching and he's going against Fernando Tatis Jr., about to be the number one prospect in the game. And it's like, you look, sucker, this is what's going to happen if you try to crowd me.
Right.
And you saw a lot of big league pitchers do it to Tatis last year. And here was a 19-year-old doing it. And since then, that's about what they've seen, is a guy who is absolutely relentless and who has what is extremely rare. And I look, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him against big leaguers. But what they call four plus pitches, as in if one's not working, he's got three others to go to. And they have yet to see a game where all of them are working. But in the bullpen, they've seen them all work and they say, man, this guy, he's just got it. And that he is Chris Paddock plus. If he is Chris Paddock, then I think the Padres should be fairly excited about the next couple years when, Mackenzie Gore, he's not going to start, obviously. He's coming up, he's coming out of the bullpen here. There's 3 weeks left in spring training, as you mentioned. He's going to start in the minors, but they fully expect it would be a shock. I guess, maybe if the Padres are, fighting for a wild card spot at the end of the season, maybe Mackenzie Gore would not come up, but it'd be a shock at this point to everybody if Mackenzie Gore is not in the majors this year.
Right, and plus you don't have the absurd expanded rosters in September. I think it's you're only adding two or three people. Is it three guys or four, something like that in
three
in September? Mm-hmm. So you don't have the ability.
Actually, it's two, isn't it? Because they're already right, 26 for the whole season.
So it's 26 to 28. So.
Yeah.
We don't know if that'll impact that, bringing up some guys like that. But, of course, the Padres hope, and maybe who knows? I mean, they may need a guy to start a game in September, even if they're in contention and if he's had a good season and hasn't thrown too many innings and all that. But I just thought that was interesting. I also liked what Gore said about unearned runs. He's never given up an unearned run in the minors, which is just unbelievable. There's got to be some luck involved in that too. I mean, a guy could make you could have a runner on third with two outs and a guy makes a throwing error and there's nothing Gore could do about it, but he's never had an unearned run scored against him. And what was his quote to you about it? It's a run. Who cares whether it's
a run.
Yeah.
It's a run. It's very simple to Mackenzie Gore. I mean, a really nice kid. He really is. But it's unlike Chris Paddock, who will take you through every decision that he makes, through the course of a game. And
right.
then also the four previous days that he was preparing. Mackenzie Gore is pretty much the opposite of that. But that kind of also tells you all you need to know about him. So I think it is very exciting. I don't know if we can express enough how much, the Padres are very wary of touting their prospects too much. They have been since it became a thing, right?
Right,
where
right.
everybody was like, but there's two guys that they absolutely have not like shied away. They expect all-star status from Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino. And so, wow, to me, that has always meant something. It speaks to what these guys have. In the Futures game last year, Luis Patino evidently knew when the Futures game was at the start and where it was at the start of last season. I mean, that was big to him.
Uh-huh.
His family flew up and he did really well. And so did Mackenzie Gore in that. And you see, young kids do come up big in big moments. And to me, over the course of these, almost 30 years of covering pro sports, that's a hallmark of guys that are going to do well.
Right. And this year the game is in LA. So I'm sure that the Padres would certainly be excited about having guys, pitching right here, and even fans that might, from here that might go up and see that game. And we should say Patino is supposed to pitch on Wednesday. Obviously, when most of you are hearing this, we won't know what happened, but we'll just assume he threw a scoreless inning and, I don't know, struck out the side on 11 pitches or something there. I'll say that. I think the one other thing about Gore and that story about Tatis is that was his first spring training. I mean, he had just been drafted in June, and that was his first time, facing any of these guys, whether it was a top prospect like Tatis or who else, and obviously was there to show that he wasn't going to be intimidated by anybody. So that was everybody can obviously read that story either in the paper or online. So pitching, you mentioned Paddock. He had another good outing this week. Three innings. I think he was the first guy to go three innings, wasn't he?
He was. And what I loved about it is again, spring training, he threw 9 curveballs and 42 pitches. I went through, and he had 26 starts last year, and that's more curveballs than he threw in 14 of them. So he obviously, there's been a lot of talk about what he's worked on with the curveball, trying to make it harder and sharper, and, you know, in all sorts of situations, and still he got some bad luck, a bloop single. I thought he got squeezed on a pitch. These are things that are going to happen in a game, and he still got through those 3 innings and 42 pitches, and that is another hallmark of an ace. Wasn't his sharpest, wasn't using his best stuff. Like in a season, maybe your best stuff isn't working, and you have to go to another pitch, so this was on purpose, mm-hmm. but and still, pretty decent lineup. He made Tim Anderson, the reigning AL champion, tied him up on a fastball. It was a really, really promising outing, which I guess is sort of the next time that I see Chris have a bad spring training outing. I guess that'll be a shock.
Right. And I mean, I think those moments are kind of what you look for a little bit. And someone uh-huh. someone like Tim, facing someone like Tim Anderson as opposed to, facing a guy who's battling for the 26th spot on the roster or might even, be just a double A player or something like that. I think it's like facing the Angels and seeing yes. their top line, guys that are playing. You kind of have to judge that. There hasn't been much talk about this, Kevin. So I might as well ask you here because I don't even think I've asked you in all of our many other text and email and phone conversations. Is Chris Paddock going to be the opening day starter?
He is the presumptive. As a matter of fact, I am writing something, a note for tomorrow. I think that's the word that I use.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
He's the presumptive opening day starter. There, right now you can't start counting because they're moving everybody around and all that. But I'm going to expect here in the next week or so that they're going to start lining these guys up. And I honestly don't see any reason, why would he not be?
Right.
You have 5 off days in April. It seems to me that you can maneuver however you want to make sure that everybody's rested. I believe I wrote a few weeks ago that only 2 starts the whole month would have to be made on 4 days rest or something, because they just have all those off days. There's the 2 built around Mexico City series. There would seem to me to be zero reason. He's earned it. And so unless there's something I'm not thinking about, people haven't told me, then I'm going Chris Paddock on March 26th against the Rockies.
Yeah, the season starts actually with 7 straight games. So you're going
to... So someone will... 2 guys will have to go there.
Right.
Okay?
And then there's...
And then after that, it's I think 5 in a row?
No, it's actually 6 in a row.
6?
Yeah.
Okay.
So whoever pitches on the 3rd would have to pitch on the 8th. And then later, after the Mexico trip, that's when they have a bunch of games in a row and guys will have to pitch more on... Sort of what you'd call regular rest.
Yeah.
The 2 other guys that are coming off Tommy John surgery, although more recently than Paddock's, he had a story on that in Sunday's paper. But then they pitched as well. Denelson Lamet and mm-hmm. Garrett Richards. I saw some of Lamet's outing. It happened to be on, and I thought he looked like Denelson Lamet. I mean, he was throwing
very well put.
He was on the Reds. That was the Reds broadcast, I believe, on Saturday.
Yes.
And they were saying that, he was throwing 98. Wasn't always having great command, but again, it was his first start. What'd you think of Lamet, and what'd you think, even more importantly, of Garrett Richards?
Well, I thought you said it. I mean, Lamet was Lamet, and if you've been watching him, then you go, wow, that's a really good pitcher. Oh, okay, well, there's a walk. Okay, let that pitch get away, whatever. That's Nelson Lamet, and it was the first start. Now, Garrett Richards, who had 3 starts last year and really, he was, 8 2/3 innings. He's coming back 14 months out of Tommy John surgery last year. And you saw promise. You saw, okay, well, yeah, that looks like sort of like Garrett Richards was for the Angels back in 14, 15, 16. Okay, well, we'll see. And then he had the offseason, put on 20 pounds. I'm telling you, yesterday, that guy was sharp. That if that was Garrett Richards' first start, and that is indicative of his fastball command and the movement on that slider, then I think the Padres got their money's worth. And when I say that, I mean $15.5 million for 2 years, and really it was $15.5 million for 1 year of Garrett Richards. And I said if.
They got their money's worth if he can stay healthy,
yeah.
Which is, of course,
right.
You could say that about basically anybody, but you have to say it a little more about a guy coming off, coming out of what he's been coming out of. But no, I mean, that would certainly be encouraging for the Padres if they could get anything close to what Garrett Richards was, you know, in, I guess, I don't know if you want to say his prime or in pre, because I guess he could still be in his prime if he's healthy. I mean, he's only, what is he, 31?
Yeah, and he's thrown like 110 innings in the last, you know, four seasons or something. So. And, you know, it was the elbow. And there were some other things that were attached. You know, you get the elbow and you're trying to pitch through that. You got to get a little biceps, you know, stuff. You get a little shoulder stuff. And he's healthy for the first time. But, yeah, you know, there's got to be an if on it for sure.
Right. All right, let's talk about someone that I never in a million years would have imagined bringing up on a podcast. Abraham Almonte. I mean, this guy is, I don't even know if journeyman is kind of the word for him. He, you know, he can play the positions in the outfield. He's not much of an offensive player. If you look at his career numbers, I think I looked the other day, his OPS plus was like 82 or something like that. So, you know, below average offensive player. He can play some defense, but all of a sudden, this guy has gone crazy in the spring, hits a grand slam yesterday. You also wrote about him. This seems like a pretty good insurance policy, basically, for the Padres to have as sort of a veteran outfielder who, if, you know, all the things go wrong and, you know, Will Myers turns back into the Will Myers we've seen too much of, and, you know, Franchy Cordero gets hurt and Tommy Pham's elbow's bad, all this stuff, they have a guy that they can call up who's at least serviceable, right?
Right. He evidently finished really strong, and you don't know, heck. I mean, I know that the Diamondbacks were sort of kind of still playing in Arizona, or in September,
yeah,
but
right.
He got called up last year in September. You don't know who he was facing or whatever, but like, I think he had like a .450 on base percentage. The guy's been around forever. He was a part of the Dominican team that won the Caribbean World Series. He's played, what, I think it's five teams in the last seven seasons, including the Padres for parts of, what, 14 and 15. He knows baseball. He's a great guy. And you know what? They're not, as of now, like the greatest defensive outfield. He can be, I'm not saying that he is a Travis Jankowski or something, but he can be a defensive replacement. And, you know, it's different than, oh, hey, it's the end of May and we need outfielder Josh Naylor. Yeah, he's still developing. He probably should still be in AAA, but we're going to bring him up and play him in the majors. If you're trying to win, then you've got a veteran guy who you hope, you know, really knows the game and you can put in certain situations. And so maybe that is a positive. I do think it's a long shot at this point, especially if Naylor is healthy, if Cordero's healthy, if they're showing that they are playing at a major league level. I think it's a real long shot for him to make the team, but it's certainly not impossible. And if he keeps playing like this, well, I mean, Jace Tingler does seem legitimately into competition and to, you know, making it a real thing. And if Abraham Almonte is doing all the right things, I don't think it's impossible he can make the team, but I'm really thinking that he's an insurance policy out of AAA.
Right, right. And I know you didn't mention Lagares either, who's, you know, we talked about
a heck of a fielder.
Right, we talked about last week as a really good defensive player who could be sort of that fifth outfielder because he could be what they imagined Jankowski was going to be until he got hurt last spring, I guess it was. I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, we talked last week about second base and the outfield. Anything new to bring up in those situations? Anything new with Tommy Pham? Is everything still, from what they're saying, still on track in terms of, you know, when is he going to throw? When are we going to see him in the field? That sort of thing.
Supposedly, it is all on track. He's up to 125 feet. I'll have a little note tomorrow. Needs to get up to about 200 feet full throwing to get cleared to play. They're still believing that the middle of March is realistic and that's their timeline, that it's realistic for him to be ready to play left field for the start of the season, which obviously he does, because unlike last year where he could finish the season largely as a designated hitter, he cannot do that here. So, you know, this is a huge deal, and not because there's like worry, but because it's a huge deal because it's Tommy Pham and he's a big part of what they're expecting to do right now. And I talked to Tommy yesterday, very upset at his swing. He's in there DHing again today. By the time you listen to this, we'll know what he did. So he's primarily focused on that now, and he legitimately didn't seem concerned about the arm. He says that it's been feeling well and zero setbacks.
Well, it makes sense that he'd be more worried about the offense anyway. I mean, I think in terms of a guy like him going out to play left field, and if he has just a week, or I mean, if he has almost no time in spring training playing in the outfield, I doubt it's a big deal. We're not talking a pitcher here who needs to build himself up or anything like that. I mean, there could be games where he doesn't even have to make, you know, more than a few token throws into the infield. Although I would think teams are going to test him at the beginning just to see what he's got. I guess, you know, most of what we've talked about today has been positive, and it's been a pretty positive spring for these guys.
Sure.
Any concerns that have developed at this point? Anything that Tingler or Preller or anybody else that you talk with might be sort of keeping an eye on, and it's kind of like, boy, what are we doing here?
Really,
do we have any plans for this? That kind of thing.
You know, it's really just the questions. You know, there's just too many, and you're going to always have Will Myers hanging there. You got Tommy Pham again. Not going to make that a thing, but he has not played left field yet, so we got to watch that. Eric Hosmer, I'm telling you, he's a completely different fielder. There's a play he made yesterday, just go watch it, where he swipes at it last year and every other year before that, and yesterday fielded it like you'd teach your 8-year-old. And so that's nice. Now, what's he going to do with the plate? Okay, that's always a question. It's a question on the team's mind, and, you know, they really need Eric Hosmer to be the guy that they paid for. $20 million isn't, you know, what it used to be. But it's still, they committed a lot to Eric Hosmer, but, and then Jose Castillo might not be ready for the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And so then you're going, all right, well, Gerardo Reyes needs to be ready for the start of the season, or, you know, somebody like that. So, but other than that, everything's going along as it should. Brian Dozier, the first couple of days, you were like, is that lost bat speed? Oh, okay. Cool. Brian Dozier, you know, just hadn't been with the team or playing yet. Now, you know, he actually looks like a guy who could be split time with Garcia. Though I will say that Profar hasn't, you know, had a bad spring. So that's a real legit competition there at second base.
Right. All right. Well, I think
that's about it, Jay.
That's about it from here as well. And got a few more games coming up and an actual off day, I think, next week with no games at all. So. I'm sure you'll be out, you know, on the golf course or in some cactus grove or something,
I have big plans for that day.
Or actually, hopefully turning in your story for the special section. But
and there it is. So. I'm gonna not only finish it that day, I'm going to start it that day, Jay.
That's great.
I'm kidding.
That's great. All right. Well, Kevin, thanks. Thanks as always. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll be back with you again next week.
See you next week.